Next item on the agenda would be David Stearns, number 19-0188. Ms. Peabody, good morning.
Good morning. So our first agenda item for habitat management is VMRC 19-0118 by Mr. David Stearns. And we are here to review an appeal by 38 freeholders of the March 13, 2019 decision of the City of Norfolk Wetlands Board to approve the construction of a replacement bulkhead, which will be replaced in its same footprint, and to plant 375 square feet of vegetated wetlands, a living shoreline, along the Lafayette River at 107 West Severn Road in the City of Norfolk. The objective of today's public hearing is to review the record of the March 13, 2019 hearing and determine if the Wetlands Board fulfilled the responsibilities under the Wetlands Zoning Ordinance. But before I do that, I'd like to send your attention to item number 7 in your packet. This is an extension request letter by the adjacent property owner and one of the signatories of the appeal, requesting that the commission review this matter at a future commission meeting. She would like additional time to review the minutes that were given to her on April 16, 2019. The code does allow the commission to approve or deny these requests. I've spoken with the City of Norfolk. The city attorney is here. The city staff is here. They would like to hear the case today, as they have scheduled today to hear it. And Mr. Stearns, Mr. and Mrs. Stearns, will be out of the country in next month's commission meeting, so they would also like to hear it today.
Well, the code calls for it to be held within a time certain, and that time certain would be today. Is that correct?
Yes. And then the code also stipulates that you can accept or deny a request to extend that that hearing.
Put it before the commission. Is there a motion to continue this by any member of the commission? Seeing none, proceed.
Okay. So again, we're here today because the board unanimously approved the David Stearns application. And following that approval, VMRC staff received a letter of appeal with 38 signatures. And the appeal gave two reasons that they would like the commission to review the project. The first is that the wetlands guidelines prescribe a less intrusive and environmentally destructive means of preventing erosion that is set forth in the approved application, and the Wetlands Board is required by law to disapprove applications proposing erosion control methods. So basically, they would like to see something other than a bulkhead. And two, the applicants lack title to the property on which they propose to construct the bulkhead. So to review the record, I am going to quickly go through the staff presentation that was presented to the Wetlands Board. This is exactly as the staff presented it. So the staff or the project takes place at a location on the Lafayette River, just north of the Granby, just northwest of the Granby Street Bridge, about a quarter of a mile. So you can see here, let me turn my pointer on. So this is the proposed project location. Here is the bulkhead. The adjacent property owner is next door here. She objected to the project. And basically, the application is to replace 96 linear feet of this existing timber bulkhead that is currently eroding. There is an existing steel bulkhead here. that was replaced in 2002. This bulkhead was approved by the Wetlands Board in 1999. It went through a lengthy appeal process, but was ultimately approved through the court system and built legally. So here's the proposed project from a different view. Again, you can see that the area of bulkhead that they would like to replace is here, and the existing bulkhead is here. In addition, they're applying to conduct a living shoreline project at this eroding shoreline here, where they'll place a bulkhead across across the mud flat, backfill with sand and plant Spartina alterniflora, the native wetland vegetation. So in this location, there are a number of stormwater outfalls that are changing the sediment type of this river. So there's a large stormwater outfall that actually extends through the existing bulkhead. In addition, the Granby Street bridge, this outfall outfalls all of Granby Street and then one here. And as a result, the sediment has changed to a silty, fluffy sediment that is quite difficult to build riprap revetments. The more structure you put on these sediments, the deeper the structures tend to settle. So here are the project drawings. Again, a 96 linear feet of bulkhead replacement in the same alignment here. It will tie into the existing bulkhead and a living shoreline. There's an approved dredge channel by the city of Norfolk that's going up this boat basin, which is fairly close to the applicant's bulkhead. In addition, they're working on an application to conduct a driveway dredge that will connect his boat lift to the city channel. So these are the existing conditions. There is failing of the bulkhead, which has made for about 14 square foot of non-vegetated wetlands behind the bulkhead. So as the bulkhead erodes, sediment falls from behind. The tide is now able to rise and fall in those sections. And that is what the city considers jurisdictional, and that's why it requires a wetlands board permit. There are no vegetated wetlands that have actually grown behind this bulkhead. So here's a view looking south at the project. The bulkhead is underneath that timber walkway that you see. And here is the eroding sediment behind the bulkhead. And the 24-inch stormwater outfall that comes through that bulkhead. And a glimpse of what that sediment looks like. And this is just another depiction of the city dredge channel and the Stearns, what will be the Stearns' proposal for a boat basin. The boat basin has not come in front of the Wetlands Board and is currently in work. And this is a cross-section just depicting that the bulkhead is going to be replaced in the exact same alignment, so it will not go 2 feet channelward as additionally is usually allowed. And the area of the eroding shoreline where the living shoreline will be placed. And that will convert that non-vegetated wetland there to 375 square feet of vegetated wetland. And a cross-section of what that will look like. So during the review, the City of Norfolk Wetlands Board uses the Center for Coastal Resources Management, which is a division of the Virginia Institute of Marine Science. They have produced a model for all localities to use that gives the localities recommendations of the best management practices for particular shorelines. And so because of the general nature of this, the Wetlands Board did not ask for specific VIMS comments, but goes directly to the model to determine whether it is appropriate based off the model. And the model in this location, where you can see the white dotted lines here, and you can read it here, but I'll read it to you. It calls for replacement of the bulkhead with a riprap revetment landward of the bulkhead. If navigation or infrastructure are limited, then replace the bulkhead in the same alignment or landward. And then in the area where the applicant is proposing their living shoreline here, which is blue, it recommends a living shoreline. So the staff recommendation, the staff went over all the possibilities, and I think the best way to incorporate that into this presentation is just to give you exactly what their staff recommendation was, which was...
That's the staff recommendation of the Wetlands Board.
Of the Wetlands Board to their board. Thank you.
Yep.
So city staff's recommendation was that the existing timber bulkhead is failing and losing soil, but there are no vegetated wetlands above the bulkhead. Other options for shoreline stabilization were discussed on site, including a living shoreline and riprap revetment. But with the location of the outfall and the consistency of the extremely soft mud flat and the proximity of the proposed channel, neither option seems suitable for this location. Therefore, it would be consistent with the CCRM recommendations to build the bulkhead within the same alignment. Following the staff presentation, the board heard objections by the adjacent property owner, Ms. J. Castle Craddock. Her objections consisted of issues associated with flooding, in her opinion. After the 2002 reconstruction of a portion of the bulkhead, she saw increased flooding at her property, and she is concerned that this bulkhead will also increase flooding at her property. She was concerned about impacts to wetlands. She has disputes over upland property lines and disputes the applicant's property ownership. Following those objections, the city attorney advised the Wetlands Board that they do not have the authority to adjudicate property lines and upland property disputes. Therefore, the Wetlands Board continued to move. And the board also heard comments in support of the project from the project agent, Bob Simon, as well as read a letter of support from another adjacent property owner. I was in attendance at the hearing. So based on my attendance at the hearing and my review of the record, staff cannot find that the board erred procedurally in their review of this matter, nor that the substantial rights of the appellants have been prejudiced by their decision. The board conducted a thorough review of the project alternatives and carefully considered all testimony during the public hearing and the recommendations by the CCRM model. It is our opinion that the March 13, 2019 decision of the Norfolk Wetlands Board be upheld.
Thank you, ma'am. Questions from Ms. Peabody by members of the commission? Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Is the appellant present or represented person that appealed this matter? Yes, ma'am. Could you come forward? Do you wish to be heard? Were those pictures present and presented at the Wetlands Board hearing?
They were, and you also have them in your packet to confirm these were the exact ones.
Make sure they're the same ones.
I don't think all of them are the same, no.
If they're not the same ones, unless staff decides they want to open the record, we will only take the ones that were provided at the Wetlands Board hearing.
And just to confirm, I'm going to take that one away because that's the one.
Right.
Is there a motion to open the record? There being none, all we can have are the ones, and are any of the ones in our packet that weren't at the Wetlands Board as well?
No, only the ones in your packet were the only ones at the Wetlands Board, and I just reviewed them, and I'm pretty sure that everything here is the one I'm reviewing.
That'll be fine. Thank you. Now, would you raise your right hand?
Yes.
Solemnly swear the testimony that you give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
Yes.
State your name for the record, please.
Castle Craddock.
Thank you. Now, Ms. Craddock, just for the record, I want to understand, this is not a hearing to determine whether this project is acceptable or not as far as what some might think is appropriate. This is a hearing to determine whether the Norfolk Wetlands Board erred pursuant to Section 28.2.13.13 of the Code of Virginia in their procedure. Okay? That's what we need to stick to. You need to advise us how and why the Wetlands Board erred pursuant to the statute that we're provided. Okay? Proceed.
All right. I certainly hope that you'll give me some latitude here today because I'm representing several other facets of this case, being that we received only the minutes for working days over a holiday weekend, which didn't allow for everyone to bring all the records straight. I also would like to denote that the three attorneys who worked on this case before, two are deceased and one no longer practices law due to illness. So we've been put at a disadvantage, which was one of the reasons why we asked for a continuance. But I think it would behoove the board, certainly, and the commission here, to review the case 99-0284 that was brought before the VMRC on appeal and was denied by the VMRC, that did affect 300 square feet of vegetated wetlands and 100 of non-vegetated wetlands and 92 feet, apparently, other documents say 82 feet of backfill and bulkhead. So today, the case of 19-0188 of 96 feet of bulkhead and backfill and 375 square feet of non-vegetated wetlands is basically going over the same thing, but semantically a little different. Agencies and individuals that we have had to our property include engineers from Langley and McDonald, Division of the Soil and Water Conservation, Shoreline Erosion Advisory Board.
Mr. Commissioner?
Yes, sir.
I just want to order here. We got to address the issue of whether there was some legal basis where the Wetlands Board had either made the appropriate decision or not, not this background that we're hearing right now.
I'm with you, Mr. Zedrin. I do agree. I was just giving the lady a little bit of latitude before, but to Mr. Zedrin's point,
okay.
You need, I'll just read it into the code, or read it into the record. The commission shall modify, remand, or reverse the decision of the Wetlands Board if the Wetlands Board, in reaching its decision, failed to fulfill its responsibilities under the Wetlands Zoning Ordinance or the substantial rights of the appellant or the applicant have been prejudiced because the findings, conclusions, or decisions of the board are A, in violation of constitutional provisions, B, in excess of statutory authority or jurisdiction of the Wetlands Board, C, made upon unlawful procedure, D, affected by other error or law, E, unsupported by the evidence of the record considered as a whole, or arbitrary, capricious, or an abuse of discretion. Ms. Craddock, you have to tell us why
okay. The
Wetlands Board has erred under that statute.
All right.
And I realize that it may be somewhat technical, but
right.
I didn't write the law. It's
you can always, if you would, I would appreciate just stopping me and telling me to move on, if you could, at any time that I deviate from
okay, ma'am. We'll do that.
That direction.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We have had increased flooding, and according to page 41 of the Wetlands Regulations and Rules, it states that alteration of the shoreline is ordinarily not justified when damage to properties owned by others is a likely result of the proposed activity. A concern with long-term adverse impact on the marine environment through such effects as updated and changes in the upland hydrology, sedimentation, change in water current patterns near the shoreline. During all the years, and we've owned the property and the family for 75 years, no destruction of the property, bushes, no erosion to the property has occurred until after the first placement of bulkhead. Never dredged, and we've never dredged in the area. We certainly look at this as being within the guidelines that the approval of said proposed project, especially the altering of the vegetated wetlands and marsh area and the filling in to the existing and the, because there is existing as well, and the new proposed change of the bulkhead, providing for trap and drainage, spillage onto my property and into the basin of the tributary, causing destruction.
Mr. Zedrin?
Point of order here again. She's not addressing the legal aspects of what the Wetlands Board of Dolphin did. She's merely reciting what she believes it is her position as to what they should have decided. But that doesn't correlate with the statute about the specifics about whether the Wetlands Board appropriately made a decision in accordance with the statute.
I'm relying on, at this point, item D,
that it may have been affected by other error of law, that what she's providing is in contrast and in conflict to what Norfolk should have allowed. But I'll defer to counsel on that.
She referenced the regulations and that it's normally not allowed if there's a likelihood of damaging other property. So if there's evidence in the record that she can point to that, you know, meets that standard, that is something you can consider. The other is unsupported by the evidence on the record. So if, again, she can point to a lack of evidence in the record that contradicts her arguments, I think that's another thing she can argue.
Proceed.
Okay. And I have reviewed the section 49-11 of the procedural guidelines for wetlands. And when we talk about erosion control structures, such as a bulkhead or seawall is deemed necessary, it should ordinarily be placed landward of any existing and productive marsh vegetation. Also, it states that sloped rock and riprap revetments are generally preferred. And it also states that when we think about vertical structures, we have to talk about reflect wave energy and other transfer problems into the neighboring properties, coastal waves, et cetera. And we have to look at the slope, which I don't believe all of this was addressed. Filling and dredge materials in wetlands for the singular purpose of creating waterfront upland property is generally undesirable, which is, again, a condition of our problem with this particular petition, and that we have already proven previously and again by title companies that they do not own this property.
That's not before the commission.
Right.
Thank you.
I understood your comment. So
well,
I'd like to move on.
I'm giving you some latitude, but restrain your comments to exactly what needs to be mentioned, and that's pursuant to the statute, please.
Okay. Also, during the presentation at the wetlands, I'll try to address this since there are a lot of restraints in trying to present this case, that during the plans, looking at the plans, even from a layman's point of view and engineers, often it states we'll use core log or oyster castles. They said all evacuated materials may be displaced in a lawful manner. It doesn't say where or how. It says existing wood bulkhead not shown on the design for clarity to be removed and new bulkhead constructed in the footprint. Atypical site conditions not visible. Dimensions shown are minimums not to be allowed, not exact. Contractors shall field verify bottom conditions to assure that we have new material in place. The engineer is to be notified if we find anything abnormal. They went on to say that there was no maintenance agreement signed for this, well, since they're going to be placing some fill. And they also stated on page 13 and 14 of their notes that there was a change of plans, which I have never received, and they said they had just come forward. They also stated that vinyl versus wood, they didn't really know which would hold up better. They talked about erosion, outfall, and there was no answer. One person would contract to say, I defer to the city. The city will say, well, we don't know that when asked by board members at this meeting. When they ask about water quality, access way, et cetera, there seemed to be always a question, well, I'll defer to this person, but we're really, really not sure. So if you read those minutes, it's clear to any layperson, much alone an engineer or someone who is a certified environmentalist, that a lot of these questions were not answered. So how can someone say we approve of this project? Also, they stated that in their presentation that the ERP, the Elizabeth River Project, and the VCAP would be involved in this wetlands planting. I think that both of those agencies would be quite concerned if they knew that they were planting on trespass property.
Ma'am,
Yes.
That's...
I know, I'm not supposed to address that anymore.
Ma'am, if you do it again intentionally, I will tell you this to wrap it up and cite your final argument.
I'm wrapping it up.
Okay, thank you.
And we ask one thing which was very important to us, is that we had asked for a continuance of the hearing here today. And ironically, and I just wanted to go on record, that the applicant and the Wetlands Board of Norfolk filed two motions because the MRC, the Marine Resource Commission, did not supply them with the minutes in a timely fashion and was presented in Norfolk City Court. So the very same excuse was given, that they couldn't transcribe quickly enough, and yet they were granted that. So in conclusion, because I realize we're not really going to be able to present this in this venue, as maybe in a public venue, but we believe in doing the right thing, the right way, for the right reason. And you might ask, what are my credentials here today? Well, I don't think people come here to make a presentation without some sort of credentials. My credentials go back to preschool, when I received two ribbons for raising ducks on a farm at the Princess Anne County Fair. My university students formed an environmental group 40 years ago, long before it was vogue to do so. I've been recognized twice by one of the most respected environmental organizations for my volunteerism. I own a farm, and I follow all the regulations very strictly and never been cited for any violations. I also lecture on these topics at request. And so my family and I would say that we have been, what we feel, personally biased, misinformation, misrepresentation, and we want to go on record as stating that we would not care who is doing the project. We believe it's not environmentally correct and following the rules. And one of the things that I would like to address, because it is in the minutes from the Wetlands Board, and has been presented here this morning, and that was that an adjacent landowner submitted an email of two sentences that they agreed with this. First of all, that person is not the owner of the property. It's owned by the Richmond Diocese. And upon contacting the diocese, we understand an individual priest does not own the property. It's 501c, tax exempt. They have a special division in each diocese that deals with properties and real estates. And I don't mean this to seem rude, but I'm a little frustrated here. It seems like that we have been at a disadvantage all the way across. I contacted jurisdictions outside of my own as to whether or not property ownership is a concern to wetlands boards. They said it absolutely is. So either we have to go back to Richmond and ask them to finalize some sort of interpretation so that a citizen doesn't feel as though that you're being prejudiced or biased in presenting a case that you feel is not adequately prepared, not adequately presented, and does not address all of the issues that I think the public would be concerned with. I myself believe that no one would ever presume that you could not present all the facts, nor that ownership or that presentation in a meeting that someone owns a property that does not is astounding to me. And if that's the case, then maybe I misunderstand being a citizen of the Commonwealth of Virginia. I believe all things in all ways should be fair. And one of the major issues here is fairness was given in a court of law to the opposition, to the Wetlands Board of Norfolk, and to the applicant previously, and I was not given that courtesy for the same exact reason. So I thank you for your time, but obviously that's worthless.
Well, before you leave, ma'am, there may be some questions by members of the commission if you'd like to address the commission. To your point, your accomplishments are significant, but as far as credentials are concerned, the credential that you need to be before this commission today is nothing but a citizen of the Commonwealth of Virginia, and that of the one that would be potentially aggrieved by this decision of Norfolk. So that's the credential you need to be here today. As far as what Richmond does or does not do, what we do is basically act upon and as by virtue of our responsibilities of the law that's provided to us by the legislature. So, and it would be inappropriate for me to comment on whether it's sufficient or insufficient. What I have to deal with is what we have. Any questions of Ms. Craddock by members of the commission? Thank you, ma'am. Mm-hmm. City, present or represented? Good morning, ma'am. You as a, good to see you. You as an officer of the court have been sworn. State your name for the record, please.
My name is Cynthia Hall. I am a deputy city attorney with the city of Norfolk.
Pleasure to have you here today. Can you do me a favor and please address the issues that Ms. Craddock brought up and explain to us why the Wetlands Board did not err pursuant to Section 28.2-1313 of the Code of Virginia?
I will be happy to do that. I would like to first comment on her recitation of her remembrance of the prior case. Her remembrance was not accurate. I think she is attempting to relitigate that case.
For the record, that evidence will not be considered by the commission. I was going to say that prior to that's inappropriate.
And I would also note that there were some additional issues she raised that were not raised at the hearing, the most recent hearing before the Wetlands Board, and we would ask those not to be considered.
You can, if you can refresh us with what those are, that would be a benefit since we weren't there.
She just went through a bunch of issues she had with the actual format of the application. Those issues were not raised at the lower hearing.
Okay, thank you.
So we would ask that those to be not considered at this time. I think the presentation by Ms. Peabody was very comprehensive. It covered all the important issues for this commission to evaluate. And it's clear from all those factors in the presentation you heard today that the Wetlands Board, in this case, fully fulfilled its responsibilities under the statutory framework. This is an application to replace a failing bulkhead where erosion is occurring. You were shown pictures of that today in the exact same alignment. The application includes restoration of 375 square feet of marsh, which we consider a water quality component of the application. In fact, it's a net gain of wetlands from a mudflat to a vegetated wetlands in that area. In addition, the VIMS model assessment for the area, based on the particular characteristics of that area, is to replace the failing bulkhead in the exact same alignment or landward. And I'm going to talk just briefly about riprap or a living shoreline in that area that was described by Ms. Peabody were not viable options. The Wetlands Board spent a great deal of time discussing those options, and based on the characteristics, again, of that cove and the location of the outfall, the fact that they were soft mudflat with slumping concerns, the upcoming dredging project, and the inability to have the proper slope for that dredge cut. In addition, there was not enough space to actually construct or to do the dredge project if a riprap or a living shoreline was constructed in that area. The bottom line is the board fully considered all the options, fully undertook to take its duties and responsibilities seriously. The only viable option in that location was a bulkhead, and just to address moving the bulkhead landward, that was also discussed by the Wetlands Board, but the Wetlands Board felt that that was not a viable option given the location of the outfall, which is at the head of that location. So in the totality of circumstances, the board adequately and fully addressed its obligations and responsibilities. There's been no abuse of discretion. There's been no arbitrary and capricious behavior. I know she also brought up the property line or the property ownership issue. As I counseled our Wetlands Board at the hearing, that's not an issue for the Wetlands Board to determine. That requires lengthy court decisions in most cases. She did bring up today a flooding concern. And I would just note that the board did talk about that briefly. Installing a bulkhead in the exact same alignment would not result in any flooding to her property. And on top of the fact that there was the water quality component of the living shoreline that's being constructed, which should help with that issue too. I would note that she indicated there was a flooding concern. She did not indicate where that occurred, and there was no other evidence presented other than her statement in cursory form that there was a flooding consideration. So based on all the factors and all the information you've heard today and the documentation in your file, we would ask that you uphold the Wetlands Board determination. There's been no error of law. There's been no abuse of discretion, and the decision of the Wetlands Board is fully supported by the evidence and the information presented at the Wetlands Board hearing.
Thank you. Any questions of counsel by members of the commission? Thank you, Ms. Hall.
Thank you.
Ms. Craddock, do you have anything to say or that you'd like to rebut what Ms. Hall had to say? The answer would be no. Thank you. Matters before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Miner.
Move that we approve staff recommendations.
Motion made by Mr. Miner to approve staff recommendations, which is to uphold the decision of the Norfolk Wetlands Board pertaining to the David L. Stearns case. Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Second by Dr. Neal. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much.